Okay, Rabosai. sorry about that. I'm just going to go a little out of order here because we have to finish up all the lumdus related to the nature of machlokes of Ezol Meshamai before Yantiv, before Ben Ismanu. If, you know, there's some side, I mean, the rest of the parak is interesting side points. Mikvos and, you know, Vlad Pogom and etc. All right, that we will live if we haven't finished yet. But let's just skip for a moment to Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph. And then we'll come back to where we were. Remember, we had the Mandar Lo Asu. Question is, this fascinating Mandar Lo Asu, what we discussed last time, which is very Yisodi, La'an Yisdati, is why is there Mandar Lo Asu, and how does that relate to every other Machlokas in Kol Tarkula? But clearly, what we learned from Mandar Lo Asu, and this is Muskam by the, to the best of my knowledge, this is Muska by the Rishonim, is Mandar Lo Asu says, Asur Lebe Shammai Lahakel Negedivre Besilo. That's Mandar Lo Asu. They're not allowed to be Makel, such as, for example, be Miyabim Tsarasa Bas, which is where we started with. Is Be Shammai Lak Lahakmir Kedivrehem? So, the answer to that seems to be pretty clear from Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph. If you skip to the middle of Tes Vav Amud Aleph, like maybe 60% of the way down at the beginning of the line, it says, Maisa Rabbi Akiva. Sorry, before that it says, Masivra Masharsh, under that. I apologize. Masiv, at the end of the line, two-thirds of the way down. Masiv Marzutra. Maisa V'yolda Kol Shal Shana Yizakin Pikas of Aziva V'sika Chal Gavi Mita V'shvila Kata and Shmami Da Asu. Right, that... Shammai had a grandson, and they didn't want to take him out to the sukkah. Wasn't good weather, too much wind or something, so they broke the roof and built a schach over him, because Shammai held the cut of his chayv in the sukkah, unlike the way we paskin. So Shmami na Asu, this proves Asu. So Shmami na Asu, what does this mean? That if he was machmir, he wasn't makel, right? He was only machmir to build the sukkah. If he was machmir, that proves Bandavar Asu. What does that imply? That Mandamar Lo Asu would not have been Machmir. So from here, Tosos concludes, and what is the more answer? Hasam Haroa Omer Lafushe Avir Ka'avid. No, in that case, it was okay for him to be Machmir because someone who saw it might think that he just wanted to air out the room a little. He just wanted to get a little fresh air. Okay, in our houses, I guess that would be a little... you know, hard to imagine. I guess whatever they had a little thatched roof, you know, or a little, you know, very very thin roof, and it was really no big deal to be pokies the maziva and add a little things. That's something someone might do to get some fresh air if the weather is hotter than they expected sukkah time. But what do we see? What's the principle? Seems to be the principle. Seems to be that that usher. Lebeshamai lehachmir kedivrehem, meaning chayavim lehakel kebeis hillel ella in kain, you know, haroe ain't no makar. Unless the roe wouldn't notice, unless the roe could possibly have another explanation. So it's what Tosus concludes. Dibra maschav sikech sikech harabim mita shmami na asu mikan mashma demarim dava lo asu afil leichad b'shami lo chumra hayu osing beisela lo kula. Not only do they have to be machmer like beisela and asu to be mekel, they even have to be mekel like beisela and asu to keep their own chumras. Unless they have a cover, they have an excuse. That seems to be pshat of the Gemara, pasha pshat of the Gemara, and that is what Tosus concludes. That not only does Mandar Lo Asu require Shammai to keep the Chumras Beis Hillel, they even require Shammai to be Makel against their own opinion like Beis Hillel. They even have to give up their own opinion and be Makel and do what's considered not Beira according to them, unless they have a valid excuse. So, for example, over here, Lu Yitzu, there's no valid excuse. They would have to be Mavatal Mitzvah Saseh of Sukkah. And we have the same thing happens next in the next Gemara. Masiv Marzutra, Maisa Vishokas Yehu Shahisub Yushalayim, Maisa Nakuva, the Mikvav Kaltarshi, Yushalayim Nasat Al Gaba. Okay, the Mikvos here are a little complex, but we get the basic point. There was a certain Shokas. A Shokas is a trough. It is not, for whatever reason, which is a little controversial, was not a kosher mikveh in and of itself. Let's take the simplest reason. I think Rashi says in the simplest way, if I'm not mistaken, that it didn't have 40 sa. Right? That's the general halach. But it's okay because there was a hole that connected its water to a kosher mikveh. Called Tarash Shalim Nasal Gaba, and that's what they were told about everything. Tarash Shalim Shalch Beishami Chavua Shemeishami Omrachi Tvas Tipaches Beruba. And Beishami sent a shliach to widen the hole, because Beishami holds you can only join the mikvahs if it's most, the hole is most of the wall. But we hold in our Mishnah Beis Hillel says to join mikvahs, all you need is Kishvah Peres Hanol, the straw they used to put in wine bags. Which is like two fingers around, and that's what it was. Beis Shammai was marchivit. Shmami no asu, doesn't it prove asu the Beis Shammai? Now here, Beis Shammai, what did they do? They want to be machmer like themselves. So this implies that Shmami no asu went around and lost. They should have been mekel. No, pasamar omer lafu Shammai Yehudakavit. Okay, we'll stop there. There also they have a cover. You think the Roev who saw the shliach come and do this might not realize Beis Shammai was being machmer, might just think that they're trying to get more water into the shokas so that they could tovel larger things or more things at once and have a more efficient process. But the principle of the Gemara seems to be clear. Tosfos says that it's also for Beis Shammai to be machmer like their own opinion. They even have to be maker like Beis Hillel. Unless they have a valid excuse.
That goes very well with, if you think the whole problem is Losi's going to do, because
okay, that is a very valid point. I don't know if anyone has the sheet that I gave out the Ritva a couple of days ago. If not, then Morty will pass you on. If you look at the Ritva here, what does the Ritva say? Let's just read the last five lines of the Ritva on this page. Starts Kedi Isa Hassam, five lines from the end. V'had the Ma'isim V'had the Pochasam Aziva Mehav the Shokes Alma Asu. For the fact that Shama Din Machmer sounds like Asu, Mishum the Afgav Bul Chumrahi. Isn't it just a Chumra? I'm reading the last five lines of the Ritva. V'had the Ma'isim V'had the Pochasam Aziva. What Shama Din Machmer? What's the problem with being Machmer? Even according to my number of Losu, they could be Machmer. So the answer is Mishum the Afgav Bul Chumrahi. They should have done it so for Hesia if they could have, because they could have done it quieter. Then we answer it's not so public, because the person who saw it might just say they wanted fresh air or they wanted more water. And here we see that according to also they would still be machmer like themselves privately. Then the footnotes point out, we're not sure what this next line means, but Dorshi, must be a Tosofer, shall be Shammai Yisrael Shem Beis Batidinim, the Efshir runs Alon Nakta, Elo Lomar Shiloy, and Lassos Verhesia, Fila Hachash, Loyer, and Machlok Zagudos, Kin, Yerman Shonok Tas. Sounds like he's asking, aren't they two Batidinim? There's no problem with Agudos. The answer is, yeah, but it's still nicer for them to do it quietly. But what's the Yisod of the Ritva they point out? According to the Ritva, he thinks Mutter was Shammai Lehachmir kidivrehem b'chol makom. It's always much of Beis Shammai to be makor like themselves. They never are forced to be making like Beis Hillel. What was the question? Aval eino kidai lasos b'farhesia em efshar lasos b'tzina. That's what he says, came with the sagya b'lavach. The Ritva seems to say, no, he gives Beis Shammai a little more rights than Tosfos does. He disagrees with Tosfos. No, the Gemara's question wasn't according to Manan Lo Asu, Beis Shammai should have been Mekel. The Gemara's question, according to Manan Lo Asu, shouldn't they have done it? Isn't it better to at least do it quietly? Like, isn't it nicer to do it quietly if you can? Like, isn't it nicer to always try to minimize, like, if you can, if it's convenient for you, you might as well minimize. So what was the Gemara's question? The Gemara's question was, according to Tosfos, Lemanda Amar Lo Asu, Beis Shammai, should have been Mekel. According to the Ritva, it's that Lemanda Amar Lo Asu, Beit Shammai should have tried to keep their chumrah quiet, if possible. Right? Mishum desad yiblavachi. If they would have had another approach, like why they might as well, you know, keep it as quiet as they can. So there is a fundamental machlokus here. L'man davar lo asu. Does man davar lo asu even for Shammai to be makel and do what he thinks is an aveira, if he has no other choice? Or no, man davar lo asu would never make Shammai be makel. Man davar lo asu just means that Shammai, like, it would have been kedai to be machmir quietly if you could have. And the answer is, yeah, well, they were machmir quietly because not everyone noticed. So this is a machlokus man davar lo asu. You could say, this is what Morty was implying before, I believe, that this might be a little bit l'shitasim as to what the svar of man davar lo asu here. Tosfos says, the reason for man davar lo asu is lo sisko to do, so that it might make sense that that you can never be miskodet. Right? You can never be miskodet. And therefore, whether it's being more makir than you think you should, or being more makir than you think you should never be miskodet. According to Ritva, the reason is achrei rabban lahatos, so then it might make sense. You can't be more makel than the rabbin, because then you're doing an aveira according to the das of the rabbin, but you can be more machmir. What I mean? You're always allowed to be more machmir on yourself, right? No one ever said it's a violation of achir rabbin lahatos to be more machmir. You can't be more makel than the rabbin because that's an aveira, aliva, to the rabbin. But you can be more machmir than the rabbin because that's not an aveira. Just a personal piety. Like, yeah, you're allowed to be more from than the rabbin. You're allowed to be more from than the halacha wants. That's good. It's called being a special chassid. You're just not allowed to be less from than the halacha is. So it could be that there is a nafkamina. We saw it, we discussed last time, which is the most important nafkamina of Machlokas Tosfos and Ritva, which is called Torkula. Ad HaYom HaZeh, there could be nafkamina for understanding the Shach of Tari the Gemara, that it could be the Lishitase, I'm not saying it's Mochrach, but it happened to be, that Tosfos says the concern with law, Lo Mandra Lo Asu is Lo Siskodu. They held there was always Lo Siskodu, even in two towns, even in two bezdins. So if there's always Lo Siskodu, Lo Siskodu has no exceptions. Sometimes you have to be Machmir to avoid Lo Siskodu, sometimes you have to be Makel to avoid Lo Siskodu, if it's going to be noticeable. According to the Ritva, the problem with Man davar lo asu is not Lo Siskodu. That's what it says at the end of this piece we read. It's two bezdins. There's no Lo Siskodu problem. The problem with the sheet of Man davar lo asu was you can't violate the halacha of the rabbin. So then it makes it you can't violate the halacha of the rabbin by being makel against the rabbin. But if you want to be machmir, you're not violating the halacha, you're just doing shtuyot or doing midas chasidus according to the rabbin. Okay? So there should be no problem being machmir. So why is the Gemara bringing up cases where their machmir is a raya, says that was just because, like, even though the reason is achrei rabban lahatos, you might as well have kept it quiet if you could have. Like, shouldn't they at least have made a little effort to keep it quiet, like, if lechatchila? And that was this. This was only a very minor question. It wasn't like, how could they put the katan in a sukkah? Isn't that against achrei rabban lahatos? No. A lot of people bring the babies in the sukkah. That's not against achrei rabban lahatos. You can bring anything you want into the sukkah. Anyway, you could always volunteer to do more mitzvahs. So that's not against achrei rabban lahatos. The question was just, wouldn't it have been nicer to do it quietly? You know, and that's the Lashon HaRitva. Came to Sagil Lav Hachi. They could have done it without fanfare. Why'd they do it with fanfare? Okay, now we just went a little out of order. Now we're ready to go back and learn in order. We just have to do some Shaka Batarya and a very, very important machlokas, nafkaminas, not a zeh, about Modi Lu Parshi. But I think where we were up to was let's start again from halfway through the wide lines of Daf Yudalev. Toshma, Afa, Vishayla, Osmein, Matir, Lo Nimnu, Beishamai, Mibishanash, Beishil, Lo Beishil, Beishamai. Right, they intermarried with each other. Iyamar, Beshlomo, Lo Asum, Mishim, Hachi, Lo Nimnu. If you hold low also, I understand why they intermarried with each other, because they all kept the same halacha. Eliyomer also amaylo nimnu. If they keep different halachas, how could they intermarry? Bishlam beisham beishelol nimnu nechavi lavenikum. I understand why beisham married beishelol. So according to beisham, beishelol allowed a yavamel l'shok and violate a law, so kids are nechavi lav and they're kosher. El beishel beisham amaylo nimnu nechavi krisus mamzerim nimnu. According to beishelol, beishamai's people who did yivam were doing eshes after kids are mamzerim. And don't say Beisel holds Karis, because Eishazach is only Karis without Misa. Karis doesn't make a Mamzer. Rabbi Elazar said they both agree that Karis, that a Mamzer is anyone who comes from Nisar Karis. No, the Olam Asu Demodi Lu Parshi. Really, it was Asu, and that's what we're going to be discussing in the next half an Amud. But how could Beis Hillel marry girls from Beis Shammai? Because Beis Shammai would tell them when it was a Bnei Tzaris Erva, and then they wouldn't marry that particular girl. Bahachinami Mistabra. And we have another Raya, that Modilu Parshi. What's our other Raya? The Katani Sefer called Tzaris called Tzmei Oshayu Elo Matarin Ve'elo Matamin Lo Nimnu Osin Tzaris Elo Agabi Elo. It says all the Tara, Tum and Tara, the woman with Tara, woman with Tame, they would not refrain from doing Taras with each other. If it's Modilu Parshi, then I understand it's another right. It must be Modilu Parshi. That's why they were allowed to do Taras with each other. Because I would tell you, this Kli is not for you. This Kli doesn't work into your Shita. You borrow this other. Don't borrow this pot. Borrow this other pot, which works for your Shita. Ela Iyamar to Lo Modiluhu. But if you say they weren't modiyah to each other, Bishlama, Bishama. Now here we have, as we know from Tosa, the big Girsa issue. Bishlama, whose Girsa is the way it's written in our Gemara? Our Gemara is Rashi's Girsa. Because Bishlama, Bishama, Bishilel, Nimnu, Dekneos, Bishilel, Bishama, Taros, Nimnu. I need to hear Bishama, Barb, Bishilel, because what Bishilel considered Tameh, Bishama considered Tahar. Meaning, who is more machmir according to our Girsa? In Taros? Who was more machmir? Beis Hillel was more machmir. How do I know that's Rashi's Gersha? Because the last Rashi in Daf Yudalim and Aleph says, "U Beis Hillel machmir in Taros Tfei." Beis Hillel is more machmir in Taros. That's how I know. I don't know from Rashi and Yudalim and Beis. He doesn't say anything on most of the Shakta Batarya. But I know from a Rashi in the bottom of Yudalim and Aleph. He says Beis Hillel is more machmir, so he obviously had our Gersha that Beis Hillel was more machmir. Matter of fact, he's the only one who had our Gersha that Beis Hillel was more machmir. So I understand why Beis Shammai wasn't nimna from Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel was more machmir, so it can't hurt. El Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, lo nimnu, Tyrus, Beis Shammai, the Sol, Tzmeis, but why did Beis Hillel borrow from Beis Shammai? Beis Shammai was more makel, and they would say it's tahar, and it's really tummy. El olav, demodilu, shmamina, but it must be that they told them, shmamina. Umay, oh, now, what's the hachinami mastabra? Hachinami Mestaber. Here we have a fundamental machlok between Rashi, who, by the way, is the Baal of the other Gersa. Who's the other Gersa besides Rashi? No, but who does Tosfos get the Gersa from? Rabbi Yochanan. All the other Rishonim agree with Rabbi Yochanan. Tosfos, the Ramban, Rashi, Baruch, everyone agrees with Rabbi Yochanan's Gersa, except for Rashi. Everyone, you'll find them. I'm sure you'll find them obscure Rishonim. But on the mainstream, famous Rishonim, it's Rashi versus Rabbeinu Chananel. Let's just see how to read the Gemara. Rashi says, Beis Hillel, Machmir Tvei. And Rabbeinu Chananel says, well, let's first read according to Rashi. According to Rashi, Beis Hillel is more Machmir, right? And therefore, what's the Raya from? The Raya is, what's the Girsa? The Girsa would be that the proof is how could Beis Hillel use Beis Shammai's Kelim, right? Now, what's the Hachinami Mestabra? What does Hachinami Mestabra always mean? This is what Tosfos is going to focus on. What does Hachinami Mestabra mean? It means that you just said something and now I have evidence for it, right? Now I have more evidence for it, right?
More evidence.
Hachinami Mestabra would have to be more evidence. Hachinami Mestabra can't be repeating the same thing. So now, what's the Hachinami Mestabra? Hachinami Mestabra. What's the more... Okay, let's take it back for a second. According to Rashi, what manda amar are we talking about? Asu or lo asu? If the kashas have to be solo use Beit Shammai's kelim, this is going according to which manda amar? Only according to manda amar asu, right? Manda amar asu assumes Beit Shammai put the stuff in their kelim. So, which manda amar are we talking about? Manda amar asu, right? Which is exactly, we're defending manda amar asu by saying modulu parshi. So we're again saying according to manda amar, manda amar asu modulu parshi. What's the hachinami mistabra? What is the added proof? How does, this is the kasha all the Rishonim asked on Rashi. How does the proof from Taros add to the proof from Tsaros? Right? What did the proof from Tsaros say? In Tsaros, basically, we know they intermarried. Say, oh, if it's also how they've intermarried, modilu parshi. So what do you do then? We repeat it. We say, ah, here is the proof from Taros. How could they have used their cooked? How could they have used their kelim? Must be modilu parshi. What if we added? It sounds like we've just said the exact same thing. Some wordy?
Because of the cold.
Exactly. So according to this is the fundamental machlokes in Rashi and Ben Chananel. If you read Tosos, this becomes very, very clear. We haven't yet said the hachinami mistabra according to Rashi. According to Rashi, where I'm up to now, we haven't yet said a hachinami mistabra. What is the added proof? We don't know until they ask the question of umay omay dahach dahach. Meaning, we said a hachinami mistabra that didn't make sense. It's no added proof. It's repeating the same thing all over again. Right? It's repeating the same thing all over again. So we haven't added any proof until we ask, umay, olmei, vichuli. And now, according to Rashi, look, we're just trying to read the Gemara, right? No alumnus in this part of the Gemara, just read the Gemara to Rashi and Beinu Chananel. And now, what's the question? The question of umay, olmei, etc. According to Rashi, the question of my olmei, what does Rashi say? Umay, olmei, dahay, mehay, Dika'amar hachinami mistabra. The question is, what did you mean by hachinami mistabra? It's a question on the hachinami mistabra. The Gemara is saying, what do you mean by hachinami mistabra? You haven't told me hachinami mistabra. You just repeated the same thing all over again. By Saros, we say, ah, could be lo asu. But if it's asu, they'll answer modi lo parshi. By Taros, could be lo asu. But if it's us, they'll answer modi lu parshi. So what's the, so where's the hachinami mistabra? So that's exactly, Morty's correct. The Gemara is asking what's the hachinami mistabra. Right? Some of the children don't like this. You can't have a hachinami mistabra that's not clear until later. But Rashi says, no, you had a hachinami mistabra that originally was not clear. Say, what's the hachinami mistabra? The answer is, Maldetame tzor kala isle ka mashvalon. That's the hachinami mistabra. If it had just been the what's the hachinami mistabra, you could have the hachinami mistabra modi lu parshi. Is that if it was just for tzara, you might not have thought modi lu parshi. You might have thought, since this is a very famous occurrence, how often taka? How often does a guy die without kids and leave two wives? I don't know. First of all, how often do people die without kids? More often in those days, but not every day. And how often did a guy have two wives? Most people didn't have two wives in the time of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. I know, in the Mishnayos are full of Misha Meis V'Hayilo Arba Nashim, and how you this Nashim, and that Nashim, a whole parak in Tzuvas. But that doesn't prove anything. Half the things listed in the Mishnah never happened.
One was narrow.
Right, so first of all, how often did the guy have two wives in the first place? Not so often. You don't have stories in the Gemara about most people having two wives. Most stories in the Gemara, guys have one wife. Right? I'm not saying it didn't happen, but it wasn't common. And the two wives, one of them has to be an Erva to his brother. And then he has to die without kids. So how often did that happen? When it did happen, it was so famous that everyone kept track of it for a few generations. So therefore, you might have thought Modi Lu Parshi. You might have thought, if everyone knew without Modi Lehen, they were Porish because of the cold. But as Pumatara is Maisim Bechol Yom, there's no way to keep track of that. It's not going to be famous. It might be famous a certain family. One guy's pot is not going to be famous, right? Or one guy's, you know, whatever it is, a shirt, or is not going to be famous. So therefore, that's the Hachinami Mistabra. The Hachinami Mistabra is, you might have thought it wasn't Modi Lu Parshi. It was Meforsam uparshi. Hachinam mistabra. Now the hachinam mistabra is not for the etzem defense of man number asu. Man number lo asu, the defense is parshi. The hachinam mistabra is, but specifically, was it modi uparshi or meforsam uparshi? So hachinam mistabra from Taurus, it was modi uparshi because Taurus aren't meforsam. Okay. That is the, so in the end, the hachinami mistabra is just on the modilu who has supposed to before some. That's Rashi. However, look at Tosos. Tosos says, the high Yerushalom muchas meyachal mandam al-asu. Oh, the modilu, correct. Aval rachgaris ipcha, bishlom v'yishalol nimlin v'yishamai, ditumos v'yishamai v'yishalol tohoros nidu. The rach is the opposite Gersa. He says, v'yishal wasn't nimlin v'yishamai, because v'yishamai's tomos were tohoros according to v'yishamai. According to Beis Hillel. According to the Rach, who is more Machmir? Beis Shammai. Machmiri Tvei. According to Rabbeinu Chananel. Which? Beis Shammai Machmiri Tvei. Which matches, you know, our normal image of Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, right? We always think of Beis Shammai as Machmiri Tvei.
Litva.
What?
Litva.
As a super duper Litvak. You know, where I don't even know what he is. V'zos ha'girsa nireis. Why is this girsa better? D'b'chol makom b'shamay machmir yitoma. D'chichashav eidius kuli b'shamay chomid b'selo. Chashav ela trein b'ilei d'b'toma v'tara. This makes more sense. Welcome back to this. Because b'shamay is always machmir and eidius. You know the whole parak of eidius. They have the chumras b'selo. What does that mean? B'selo's chumras are few and far between. And then you only have two things. Or some have three things. Depending exactly how you read one of the Mishnayos. Lo Mishnayot. There are only two things in Tumah Tara. Really, Beis Shammai is always the Machmir. Everyone knows that. Shidrig l'golas v'shokas yeyu ha'yu Beis Shammai l'chumra v'hashal v'yad gyrsa mukach shakr duvdu morlu. And according to the gyrsa of the Rach, it's really good hachinam v'stara. Right? Afilu lo asu. D'leka l'meimar d'lo nimnu Beis Shammai v'shel v'shel v'lo asu Beis Shammai. Get it right. No, you also hold over Beis Shammai v'shel 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 According to what's the Gersa of the Rach, the proof is how could Beis Shammai use Beis Hillel's Kalim? And why does that Now, why did that make it a much better Hachinam and Mistabra? Because now, the proof is according to which Mandamar. Obviously, according to Mandamar, Asu. Question is, Beis Shammai is Asu. How can they use Beis Hillel's Kalim, which they think are Tame? But the question is now, even Mandamar Lo Asu. Mandamar Lo Asu, Mandamar Lo Asu is Kuli Alma. Why? Because even Mandamar Lo Asu, what did we learn from the Sukkah and the Beis Yehu? That even Mandamar Lo Asu, what did Beis Shammai do? They wouldn't do kulas against Beis Hillel, but they would keep their own chumras as long as it wasn't noticeable. So now the question is, Eman Dabar Asu, how can Beis Shammai use Beis Hillel's Kalim? They think they're Tamei. Even Eman Dabar Lo Asu, how can Beis Shammai use Beis Hillel's Kalim? Even Eman Dabar Lo Asu, Beis Shammai were machmir their chumras as long as it wasn't nicker. And here, if I don't borrow your pot, is it obvious that I'm going to have a different sheet than halacha? Is it losus godu to not borrow your pot? No. A lot of people don't borrow a lot of people's kalim, right? It's no big deal. It could be I have a neighbor. And why don't I borrow his kalim? I don't know. A lot of people, I don't borrow their kalim. Maybe because I'm a bashful guy. I don't like to ask for favors. Maybe because I'm afraid they'll say no and I'm very socially awkward. There's a lot of reasons. Or maybe because I have about enough kalim myself, right? Maybe because I'm rich and I have a lot of kalim already. Wait, there are a million reasons why someone wouldn't borrow a kli. Right? Ma'isim b'chol yom. We know lots of people who don't borrow other people's kalim. Right? There are a lot of people who never borrow your lawnmower. Why don't they borrow your lawnmower? Could be a million reasons. Maybe they don't, even if they have a lawn. Maybe they're bashful. Maybe they're awkward. Maybe they have their own lawnmower. Maybe they know someone else with a lawnmower who lives close by, you know, or who owes them a favor so they don't feel so bad. Right? So therefore, even Mandar and Lovasu, it's a valid question. How could Beis Shammai have used Beis Hillel's Kalim, which they think are Tamei? They wouldn't do the coolest Beis Hillel. Certainly not if they had a valid excuse and a cover for it. And therefore it's a really good Hachinam Mistabra. Right? Therefore, what's the Hachinam Mistabra? No. It was always a good Hachinami Mistabra. What's the good Hachinami Mistabra? Until now, there's a defensive Mandam or Asu. But now, I prove that both Mandamers agree with Modi Lu Parshi. So now it's a good Hachinami Mistabra. You only said it until now for what? On Soros, you only said it for one Mandamer. Why? Because on Soros, Beishamai were the...
On Soros.
Beishamai was Mechilim. They'd only be Mekel for Mandam or Asu, so it was only defense for Mandam or Asu. But over here, Beishamai are the Machmirim. According to both Manda Amrim, they should have been Machmir. So now, it's a really good, always good Hachinami Mistabra. It was always a good Hachinami Mistabra. It was always a good Hachinami Mistabra. Now, we've proven it. Lekuli Alma, that's a great Hachinami Mistabra. You said it to defend one sheet, and now I prove both sheets disagree, so it's objectively true. Ah, then according to Tosos doesn't go on here, but the other Rishonei Sfar do. What's the question? My Omei Dehai Mehai now? It was a good Hachinami Mistabra. What do you mean? What is the question? My Omei Dehai Mehai? It was a very good Hachinami Mistabra. You said a theory according to one Bandarmer, now we proved it according to both Bandarmers. So, what's the question? My Omei Dehai Mehai? What do you mean, Omei? It's Omei, because it's according to both Mandamers. So, the Ritva and the Rashva explain, it's not a question on the Hachinami Mistabra. It's a question on the Mishnah. The question isn't according to Rabbeinu Chananel. The question isn't, my only dehai mihai, why is this a better raya for Modi Lu Parshi than beforehand, you know, in the Hachinami Mistabra? No, that was very clear. You're hopping both Banda Amars, that's Kuli Alma. The question is, why does the Mishnah need to say, Lo Nimnu Melisa Nashu Behil, and Kol Taras Lo Nimnu Osagabe Elu Be'elu? Now that we've gone back and proven that Modi Lu Parshi. So at least the question of the Mishnah is actually technically only according to Bandam or Asu. Right? Now that the reason they were intermarried is because of Modi Lu Parshi, so if they were intermarried because of Modi Lu Parshi, then why need to also say Taros? Why does the Mishnah need to tell us the same thing twice? Why does the Mishnah Haliba demand the Amar Asu? If they were Asu, truth is it could be Haliba demand or Lo Asu also. Except to Maliba under Loasu, we don't actually have a good answer to this question. Right? Aliba under Loasu, if the reason was Loasu, then why does the Mishnah have to tell us twice that Loasu? Alright, I'm sure you might have thought Loasu in this and Asu in that. Okay, but the question of the Mishnah was, why does the Mishnah have to tell us the same thing twice? They're both, now that we've proven they're both because of Modi Lu Parshi, why does the Mishnah have to tell us Modi Lu Parshi twice? And then the answer is the same for everyone. Right, that if it was just the case of Tsaros, you might have thought Mimela Parshi, because it was before. So Kamashwan Modilu Parshi. So then the last answer is the same for everyone. Is that from Reisha, from Tsaros, you would have thought Miforsum. Umimela Parshi, you need Taros to prove that Modi Lihu Uparshi, right? That you might have thought they were Parshi Mela, you need Taros to prove they were Modi Lehem. But the Sugya is totally Mahalach according to both Manda Amars. One thing which the Arklanir here points out, which is very, very nice actually, is we end up with the Machlokas. What's funny is that two ways of reading the sugya. There's also a machlokas whether the Mishnah Beis Shammai is more machmir and taros. That's a bit of a funny machlokas. Like just go through shas and see who's more machmir and more mekel. So the Arch Laner here, I notice, gives an interesting answer. Look at the end of Tosas. So Adav Arim Shlom Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. How can you say Beis Hillel no problem Beis Shammai? Thomas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel taros lindu. The Avgam to train you with Beis Shammai lekula. What do you mean? Everyone agrees it wasn't across the board. Even the Rach admits that in two things, Beis Hillel was more machmir. The answer is, how do you treat me lo shchichi? No, I mean, not gonna shlomi shema lo. Lo asu. Those two things maybe are not so shliach. They wanted to give the common cases, not the uncommon cases. They wanted to give the main cases. Usually, Beis Shammai was more machmir. The Aruch Lanier says it could be that's the machlokes Rashi and Tosos. Was Beis Shammai usually more machmir, or was Beis Hillel usually more machmir? Up your row. But everyone knows that sometimes one, sometimes the other. Maybe they're arguing who is usually more machmir. How could there be a machlokes who is usually more machmir? So it could be the Tosos Yontif in Eduyos points out. Let's just find Eduyos's hiding here. Tosos Yontif in Eduyos points out that there's machlokas Rashi and Rai that had to read the fifth paragraph of Eduyos. Let me tell you the fifth paragraph. Rabbi Yehuda Rashisha Dvar Mikula Beis Shammai Mechomer Beis Hillel. Next Mishnah. Rabbi Yosi Rashisha Dvar Mikula Beis Shammai Mechomer Beis Hillel. Next Mishnah. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Shlosser Dvar Mikula Beis Shammai Mechomer Beis Hillel. Next Mishnah. Rabbi Lozor Shnei Dvar Mikula Beis Shammai Mechomer Beis Hillel. Right? We have here different opinions as to how many chomers Beis Hillel had. So the Tosas Yontif, if you look in the fifth paragraph of Eidios, the Tosas Yontif points out that Rashi holds that all these opinions agree with each other. And that you have to add the six to the six to the two to the three, and that they're all agreeing with each other. So according to Rashi Taka, it adds up. There were a lot of chumras of Beis Hillel, and maybe that's where Rashi came from. Points out the other Mefarshim there, say no, they were disagreeing with each other. No one thought Beis Hillel had so many chumras. They just said, is it these chumras or that chumras? So it could be that the basis of the machlokas, maybe Rashi is Lashitase. The Rashi is obviously not an Eidios. There's no Gemara in Eidios. There's no Rashi. Where is the Rashi? The Rashi is on Shabbos, Daf, Ayin, Zayin, and Aleph. And it's just quoting Tosas Yontif there. So it could be, if you want to know what the Lashitase is here, the Aruch Lanier says, Lashitase in Shabbos, Ayin, Zayin, and Aleph, that he says, all the shitas about the Chumras Beis Hillel are all true. And therefore, Tak, if you add it up, Beis Hillel might have had more Chumras, while the Rach and the other Mishonah would hold, like the other Mepharshim, they'd say, no, they're arguing with each other. No one thinks Beis Hillel had a lot of Chumras. One says he has six and not the others. The other said six and not the others. The other said two and not the others. The other said three and not the others. So it could be, if you want to know, how can they argue about whether Beis Hillel or Beis Shammai is more Machmir, the Aruch Lanier suggests, looking at Tosas Yontif and Eidios, there's a machlokes Rishonim, how machmir Beis Hillel was. Not all those cases are tyros, but if you add them up, you get a lot of tyros. Okay, let's go on in the Gemara. Gufa, Amr Belazar, Af Pishinech, Mishan, Yisol, Vizaros, Modim, Shein, Mam, Shel, Mishi, Suri, Sir, Erevonish, Kares. Sounds like even though they argue, they're Modim, what does it sound like? It's only a Mamzer if you're Chayiv Kares. So now the question is, Man Modim, Elaim, Vishamay, Beis Hillel, Pshita, Bnei Chayiv, Elam, Chirin, Enu. Say, Beis Shimon is Modim, the Beis Hillel's kids aren't Mamzerim. Hush, they're Bnei Chayiv Elavin. It's obvious that Bnei Chayiv Elavin are Mamzerim. Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, he grew for Chayiv Krisu. It's not Beis Hillel, both of Beis Shammai. Those are Chayiv Krisu. Taka thinks they are Mamzerim. So the answer is, Tosus even asked, we're not going to get into that. Why wasn't this answer so obvious? But in the end, the answer is the obvious answer. Like, why they even ask the question? Tosus asked, but the answer is, that's the point. You might have thought that Beis Shammai would think Beis Hillel's guys were Mamzerim, because they hold like Rabbi Akiva, that there's Mamzerim Rechavi Lavin, which we've come across a few times in this Pesachet, Kamashvalon, not like Rabbi Akiva. Toshma, Avli Shenechlu Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, Betzaris Vachayos. Now, again, we're trying to prove the inyan of Asu versus Lo Asu. Even though they already have many cases. Now, here you have a big, big mess in the Rishonim, As to what case do they mean here by Safeg Yesh Ish? Lemaisa, we're not going to get too into it, but even though Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argued about Tsaros and Achayos, about Tsaros is our case, Achayos is the beginning of the third parak, about if basically you have like two sisters fall before someone in Yibam, and they're not supposed to marry Achlos Zukukasa, and they do, but they have to get divorced or not. Get Yashan means a guy wrote a get and was misyachid with his wife before he gave the get. Is that valid or not? Uva Suffolk Ashes Ish. I'm not sure what he means by Suffolk Ashes Ish. What does Suffolk Ashes Ish mean? That's a very broad, vague phrase. So there's a lot of machlokas about what Suffolk Ashes Ish means. Rashi says Safeg Yesh Ish means, what does Rashi say in his first day? What? It means Kedusha Mion. Means Mion. Right? Every Mion is a suffigacious ish, because we're not sure if it'll be Nekar L'Afreya, or if it won't be Nekar L'Afreya. Right? Remember, he's Sui Kamai Ka'akra. That's his first pshat. His, sorry. His second pshat, Rashi's second pshat, is there are basically three main pshatim. I mean, the third pshat, which is not in Rashi, has a million different sub-formulations. The three main pshatim are, number one, Mion, right? That we know. Was a machlokes b'shul meishamai. Remember, meishamai said Emmanuel Russo's is the, we briefly looked at that sugya when we were discussing Mion. The second pshat is that suffigacious ish means the case of suffigacious ish that's described in Gittin as a suffig. What case described in Gittin as a suffig? A guy who divorced his wife. What is the case that they happened to use the phrase suffig for in Gittin? What was a common thing? A guy who divorced his wife? What? No. What? A get shchivmeira, right? What was a get shchivmeira? A guy would say, ze gitech mehayom im meisi mecholi zeh. Why would a guy do this, Agav? This year we should know. Why would a guy who divorced his wife say, if I die, a guy was sick, if I die, you're divorced. If I live, you're not. Why would people do that? So they won't need chalitza, exactly, right? So the guys without kids would do this, right? So a guy without kid would say it's nothing to do with the base of it. It's not that he was afraid of disappearing. He was sick. He was going to die. He wasn't leaving his bed. the problem is, if he died without kids, he needs chalitza. But if he recovered, he still wants his wife. So he would say, and then meanwhile, she was a suffocation ish, because we never know l'mafreya if it's a valid get or not. And there's a whole sugya of machlok sanan, but in the simplest way, simple pshat is saying, today you're divorced if I end up dying from this disease. So until he either dies or recovers, we never know if she's married or divorced. Okay, so what's the machlok b'shul meshamai? So Rashi says, the machlok b'shul meshamai is the same as the next case. Megarish is ishtov lani mo bepundek. Everyone knows, right? There's a machlok somewhere on what they argue about. There's a very fascinating sugyas here. You could easily spend a month on Megarish ishtov lani mo bepundek to understand properly. But if a couple gets divorced and then they share a hotel room, then we assume, well, that's machlokes b'shul meshamai. If you say two things, then you assume they're married. What two things do you have to say to assume they're married? Yeah. Number one, ein adam osu bilas bilas nus. So he did kedusha bia. And number two, there was bia. We don't know if it was bia, right? We weren't in there with them. But if you assume that Eide Yichud counts as knowledge of Bia, and if you assume that the Bia is Kedushi makes Einon Nos Bilos Bilos Nus, then she's married. And if you deny one of those assumptions, then she's not married. And Machlok Zamorah, which of those two assumptions are we still arguing about? But Rashi basically says, he says, look, Megarish Ishtov Lonim Yom Pundiki, but Megarish Ishtov Mayom Meisi also might be a common case. A guy might give his wife this type of get, Mehayom Meisi, and then be Mizyachid with her. Then, and then die. If he then dies, then it turns out they were divorced and they were misyachid, and then it's a case of Megarish Ishtov Lonim Yom Pundikin. You have the same machlokes. So Rashi just says it's a case of Mehayom in Meisi, and then, Yichud, which equals Megarish. Obviously, if he dies, if he recovers, there's no machlokas. If he recovers, he never meant to divorce her. Right? And then he dies. And then Yichud. And he dies. This is exactly the case of Megarish Ishto Velana Imo Bipundak. Right? According to Rashi, it's just two AP Tims of the Megarish. One is you do a Vadai divorce and share a hotel room. The other is you do a Suffolk, a Tanai divorce and share a room. But it's basically the same case. sorry. It's basically the same case twice. And he even brings proof from Maseches Gittin that the same principles apply in this case. What's the weakness of this second shot? I mean, I'm not the only one who points it out. Right? Who's the first one to point out Rashi's weakness? other than the Sutton up in Shemayim? Tosus says, what's the problem? You don't need Tosus. What's the weakness of Rashi's second shot?
We don't know for sure that they're arguing, if they're still arguing,
both,
I mean, Rashi assumes that,
but it's not. No, but logically they'd have to be. Because if it was a valid divorce, if he ends up dying, they were divorced. And if they were divorced, then it's a case of Megarish Ishta Velani Mom Pundik, no?
Perhaps one could be Mechale. I think they're very similar.
What?
They're very similar.
I don't think that's Tosus' objection. I think there's a better objection. Let's read it. Uv is suffic ish is ish. Uv im garish ish vlonim opundik. And a guy who divorced his wife and sleeps in a hotel room. And the last one is bekesh shav kesh brutim shav pruta. Everyone knows the first mission kedushin. No one remembers the mishamai part. What's the first mission kedushin? Right? Isha nigger shal shadrachim. Right? Bekesh shav rubia. How much kesef do you need? Pruta or shav pruta. But beishamai says dina or shav dina. That's a big machlokus. Anyone who's begarish his wife with something worth more than a pruta but less than a dinar is married according to Beis Hillel, it was a Pnuyah according to Beis Shammai. Okay, what's the problem with, I think this shot is a little weak. The weakness of this shot is that it's too good. Meaning it's so obvious Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai would argue about this case because it's so exactly the same case of Megarish Ishta Velani Mom Pundiki that it doesn't deserve to be on the list. What do you say? Megarish Ishta Velani Mom Pundik and Megarish Ishta Velani Mom Babayis and Megarish Ishta Velani Mom, you know, Barechev. And Megarish Ishta Velani Mom, you know, Besvina. If it's the same exact case, then just because it if it's the same exact machlokas and the same exact halachic case, just because it happens to be in different circumstances, shouldn't be two things on the list. It should be one thing on the list. So that's Tosus' objection. Tosus' objection is kasha, because it's the same thing. So, why is it listed separately? That's Tosus' objection. To Rashi, right? Misafik ishdesh, lost an achshir, so kontratayim shkivmira, shekasav get le ishto, viafagav de'in shamach lukiz v'shimayim v'shilel. And even though we don't find Beishamayim v'shilel arguing about the case of get shkivmira, ha'nechim garsh ishloni v'pundiki, they argue that the Negarish is Lona Bahumu Bapundiki, and this could be the same case. Lona Hira. Doesn't make any sense. The next thing on the list is Negarish Ishta Velani Mom Pundiki. It's actually Machlok to this. Next thing on the list are two things down. Machlok is where they get Yashim or Suffolk Ishta, this comes first in their souls. But it doesn't make a difference. So it says, like, if there's no actual Machlok is about the case of Suffolk Ishta Zish, you just could have a case where it would end up being Negarish Ishta Velani Mom Pundiki, then why is it counted twice? You know, it doesn't make any sense for it to be counted twice. That's Tosus' objection to Rashi. Okay, so what's the third pshat that all the other Rishonim say? All the other Rishonim say a third pshat, which is the Ritva and the Rashba and the Tosus' Rush, and most of the other Rishonim say a third pshat, which is a little bit of a less substantive pshat. Suffocatious ish is a introduction. It's an introduction, because what are we looking at? Let's read it with our Girsa. Our Girsa said they argue about Saros. In Saros, they're not arguing about who's an Eshizesh, who's not. They're arguing about whether there's a Chiv Yibam. Then they argue about a Chayas. And a Chayas, they're not arguing about who's an Eshizesh, who's not. They're arguing about whether you have to divorce someone if you married her with an Isser Drabban, Lechora. In Get Yashan, there's also no Suffolk Eshizesh. They're arguing about whether Lechatchila, they made a Gzeira because it looks improper. What's the problem with Get Yashan? What's the problem if I write a Get and then I'm together with my wife and I don't give it yet? After all, it was fine. I'm not divorced till I give it. The problem is the date on the shtar is old. If I write, it's like this. If I write the get in January, and then I'm a siach with my wife in February, and I give the get in June, what's the problem? Maybe I impregnated my wife, and she's going to have a baby in November, which is really only 5 months after we divorced, right? That's fine. But if someone looks at the get in a few years, they'll say, oh, the get was February. What do you mean? This is an illegitimate child. So therefore, because of this begam, they made a gzeira not to do this lachilo. But it's not a suffix of Eishes Ish.
Isn't it also with the goat that if you have to sue for the Zacharias on the chasim or something?
Because you have to assume it was also, you're thinking of a different case. You're thinking of if it was written now and signed later. Uh-huh. That's different. Here you have to assume it was signed back in January, And it was signed back in January. And, if I didn't give it you, what the chasim? So you have to say, Eidim chasim zachalo or something, meaning all this is taken care of in furish and a second skin. You need to worry about it. Just run through the first 20 blot of Gittin and you'll find the answer. now, so what did they say? So until now, we weren't talking about a machlokas about whether Kedushin or Tofsin. And now we're talking about machlokas about Kedushin Tofsin. The Garish is the one who is a Kedushin, is it not Kedushin? The Shava Kesef, Shava Prut, Shava Dinar, is a Kedushin or it's not? So most of the other Rishonim say it is a introduction to the. It is an introduction to the remainder of the list. And therefore, it's not a case. It's just an introduction to the remainder of the list. All right, you can't have any kashas on that. Maybe it is. All right, that's a purely parsha note issue. If you wanted to, I don't want to get too deep into this, but if you wanted to ask, which I noticed some of the achronim point out, why would anyone reject Rashi's second shot? I understand, because Rashi's second shot is a very weak shot, because he's making two of the things on the list the exact same thing. Like Tosfos says, why did Rashi reject the third shot? I understand why Rashi rejected the third shot, because it doesn't make sense for it to be an introduction, it should be its own case. One of the things that Rishonim don't explain is why, not Tosfos, Tosfos only rejected the second shot. Why did the other Rishonim reject Rashi's first shot? What does anyone have against the Miyam Pshat? What's the weakness? What's the weakness of the Miyam Pshat? Weakness is obvious. Even though that's what many Rishonim end up saying, the weakness of that Pshat is obvious. What's the weakness of Rashi's first Pshat? Why not say Miyam is suffocatious ish? Doesn't that sound like a good way to describe Miyam? Every case of Miyam is a suffocatious. Every Miyam is suffocatious ish, because what does Rashi say? Every ketana who gets married is suffigishis dom ma'anis benafka, because maybe she will be ma'anis and she will uproot it. No, what do you mean? Prut and shavu prut the dina and shavu dina. We never know if she was married in the first place.
The whole time is miyun is when the brother and the mothers were makadish her. The whole thing is midrabanan anyway. So if it's whole thing is midrabanan, it's like you have it's a suffix on a suffix on a derabanan.
You're saying it might not be suffixish this, it might be suffixish this derabanan.
The whole problem of suffix is you say this nisar vashishish and get misar something, but here it wouldn't happen.
Aha.
It's actually not a suffix at all. It's less than that even.
Why would anyone disagree? That's an interesting question. So Morning, Charlie, want to say, because it's not even a suffigacious ish. Ishish ish means daraisa. Here, it's less than a suffigacious ish. It's the only question to me, Drabana. Okay. I'm a cow with that. Or, if you wanted to say, you could answer based on the Reb Chaim that we mentioned. Perhaps, I think we might have even mentioned it twice this year. How does Mion work? Does Mion really uproot it legamre? Or does it just uproot it mikano lahaba? Right? So it could be that maybe Rashi thinks, you know, Mian uproots it legamri. Safi, she might never have been an Eishes Ish, even with Rabbanan. But maybe the other Rishonim would say that no, Mian, like Rav Chaim, Mian doesn't really uproot it. Only uproots it mikan l'haba. She really was an Eishes Ish until now. So it could be, why would anyone disagree? One answer is just, Rabbanan is not called Eishes Ish. That's a sort of, that's one answer. Another answer might be, like Rav Chaim, no, she's Vadai Eishes Ish. It might be uprooted. No, the uprooting is Mikhanel Haba. The uprooting does not really uproot the Mafreya. So it could be that if you wanted to, you can find a remez here. I admit it's a remez to the fundamental Chakira about how Mia works. Maybe Rashi says, every girl, until she gets the Bas Mitzvah, is a Suffolk Eishes Ish. We never know if she was married or not, because it could be uprooted the Mafreya. Could be that the Ramban and the other Rishonim would say, no, every girl is a Vadai Eishes Ish. If it's uprooted, it's uprooted mikan l'haba. That's a fundamental, that could be a fundamental machlokas, and that we've mentioned many times. Okay, I just want to be ramus to this. Now we only have one more line in the Gemara to take care of. What were all these lists brought for? This is a very, very beautiful point, right? It shows that they were knowing chibav reyes to each other. Meaning, there are lots of people, we know lots of people who love emes and not shalom. Right? I'm right, you're wrong, and you can go to hell. Right? Preferably. There are many people out there who love shalom but not emes. Yeah, I mean, that's the modern day liberal world. Everyone should get along because, you know, you know what they say in the, you know what they say in the modern, in the general Jewish community nowadays about Orthodox, Conservative, and Reform? What would we say? Three different shitas with different philosophies of life. This is a very, very serious Indian, right? And I would add, and we're right. But that's not even the issue. In the general Welt nowadays, you go to the GA or something, say, oh, there are different flavors of Judaism. What are different flavors of Judaism? There aren't different flavors. There are different shitas. No, no, there are different flavors of chocolate, vanilla. If I like vanilla, you like chocolate. Do we really argue? No, we do our own thing, and it doesn't really matter who's right. Nobody's right. Come on. We just each have our own opinion. Right? That's each have your own. Okay, I don't have to teach you postmodernism. But, not because you necessarily already know it. That's not worth knowing. That's called Hashalom Ahavu, right? There are a lot of people who love peace because they don't care about the truth. Yeah, I'm right, you're right, come on, who really cares anyway? Nobody's right, everybody's right, what's the difference? You think right is important? And the godless of Yishav and Yisrael, I mean, it's no kunz to love emes and not shalom. You know, that's no kunz. It's no kunz to love shalom and not emes. The kunz of Yishav and Yisrael is ha-emes v'ashalom, and it's not just chib of a reyes nogum zeh v'zeh, and Hashalom Ahavu. The kunz of Yisham Yisrael is the emes v'ashalom Ahavu. They loved emes and they took emes very seriously and they really thought they were right and their opponent was wrong. And they really thought that the most important thing is to be right and it matters who's right, that it's not all the same. They did sweat the small stuff. But nonetheless, they loved shalom and therefore figured out a way of balancing them and getting along nonetheless. And that's the chav that unfortunately bizmanenu. I could find you, I could easily find you hundreds of thousands of people who love emes and not shalom, and love shalom and not emes, but the real people who are mekayim shalom and emes and shalom ahavu, you know, it's harder to find, not impossible. You can find it all the chugim of Judaism, but it's harder to find people who are really emes and shalom ahavu. Okay, so, but that's what he's talking about, Reb Shimon Omer. Nimnu emin avadivul nimnu safik. They were nimna from vaday, not safik. So now, I amar bishloma asu. Now, what's the kasha here? The kasha isn't from the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama, there's no right from the Tanakhama. Why? Because the Tanakhama just says lo nimnu. And we already had lo nimnu on Amin Aleph when we analyzed it, right? We already had lo nimnu. He said, ah lo nimnu shma mina lo asu. No, dilma vod yilu parshi. So there. There's no point. We're not bringing it for the Tanakhama. We're bringing it for Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon says something we haven't yet quoted. What does he say? Nimnu min avadai, v'lo nimnu min ha safik. So iyam shloma asu b'shal ha nimnu. So if they were asu, I understand why they have nimnu min avadai. Taka, there were psule yotz in there. Ela iyam lo asu amai nimnu. But if lo asu amai nimnu, so we're just, it seems to be a good proof. Meaning, if someone was nimna, obviously someone was asu. sorry. V'tizbra nehinami da'asu. Granted, you have a good proof that asu, right? Because Rav Shimon says they were nimna. So someone must have done something to get a psul that you'd be nimna from. Amai nimnu. Sorry. Bishlam beis hillel nimnu beis shammai chayvi krisas in umam zeren hein. Beis hillel beis shammai amai nimnu beis hillel b'nei chayvi lavin in hu k'sherin in hu. Right? In nimnu, the assumption is that, what does the Tanakhama say? Nimnu beis shammai milisu beis hillel, lo nimnu beis shammai beis hillel, v'lo nimnu beis hillel beis shammai. So by the principle of parallelism, for if Shimon says nimnu, he must mean they were each nimnu from each other. So I understand why beis hillel was nimnu from beis shammai, their kids are bnei chayvi krisus or amzerim. But why was beis shammai nimnu from beis hillel? It's bnei chayvi lavin. So no problem, k'da amr of nachman yisrael, nitzvah l'tzara atzma, k'nam l'nitzvah l'tzara atzma. Beis shammai wasn't nimnu from the children of beis hillel's cases. They were only nimna from the woman herself. This woman herself, Beis Shammai said, Tzaras Erev, go marry in the Shuk. Beis Shammai would marry her kids, just wouldn't marry her, because they held that she was a Yavama without, who needed Chalitza, so they couldn't marry her. Okay, very straightforward. Now, what does vaday in suffik mean? A bit of machlos shoshonim, but doesn't not such a big enough meaning. Rashi says vaday means those things where base hillel mishama would say is vaday ishesh and vaday not, like the dinar and the pruta. It's vaday, either it's married or not. Suffik were those cases which were more masupik, like the case of lana bapundik, that even those who are machmir aren't sure. Right? Keep in mind, the mandamer who's machmir in lana bapundik doesn't say shavada ishesh, just says the chashash ishesh. So now the Gemara says, hold on a sec, what do you mean? They were nimna from what they thought was a vada yisr, but they weren't nimna from what they thought was a suffik yisr. Why? You're not allowed to do a vada yisr, you're not allowed to do a suffik yisr, right? Maishim and a vada yisr, suffik nami yisr. No, lo tamen a suffik elam and a stam. It doesn't mean vada in suffik like something I hold as vada ishesh versus something I hold as suffik ishesh. No, suffik ishesh is also a bashim tolo, it's also a big avera. No, it means I was nimna from something I know was against my shita and not from a stam case. Meaning, if I'm Beis Hillel and I go to Beis Shammai, I would marry a stam girl, just not a girl who I knew had a problem according to me. Why? After all, every stam case could be problematic. So the answer is, the modilu uparshi. He was modi, because they're modilu parshi, so what's the principle? I can marry a stam girl, because if they didn't say anything, she must be kosher according to my shita. But I can't marry a girl who they tell me is a problem in my shita. And that's how they would have the emes for shalom. When Beis Hillel would go to Beis Shammai, they would make any shirk they want. And if it was a problem according to the other shita, they would tell them. If they didn't say anything, they knew it was kashul kuli alma. They knew they were yotzer all the shitas. Maikamash one. Hold on. If Reb Shimon shita is modilu parshi, and we've proven asu, then the Tanakama also have modilu parshi. That's why they're lo nimnu. So what's the difference between Reb Shimon and Tanakama? So my kamashlam, what's the kamashlam? The av reis nogin zebazeh hainu reisha. The kamashlam is that the av reis a modilu parshi. Then he's the same as the Tanakama. Hakamashvalan, right, we thought he was arguing, oh, nimnu. No, they're only nimnu when they told them specifically this is a problem. Tanakam also holds that. Hakamashvalan tekula, Rab Shimon he. Okay, great. It's all Rab Shimon, it was not a machlokas. Now, we just have to discuss a little this concept of modilu parshi. This is very, very nogeil lemaisa bizman hazeh. What's modilu parshi? And I think really out of the whole sugya, I know the sugya goes on, this is the last part of the sugya that really discusses not the lumdus of random examples that are brought in about sukkah and mikvos and this and that, but that really discusses the nature of what you're supposed to do when you have machlokas in the, you know, in terms of the philosophy of halacha. So, what can we deduce from here? Ma'asim chol yom, that I have one standard and you have another standard, right? None of us can go a week without two people meeting each other who have different kashrut standards in Israel. In America, you can go a couple of weeks, maybe even a couple of months. But in Eretz Yisrael, for some strange reason, in Eretz Yisrael, for some strange reason, you can't go a day without two people with different kashrut standards meeting up. So what do you do when people have different kashrut standards? Not only kashrut standards, there are other standards also, right? But kashrut standards, I think, are the closest parallel to this. Because those are really things that, like, we arrange and we give each other, just like they gave each other their daughter's hand in marriage, different kashrut standards. So what should you do with different kashrut standards or such? So, how do Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai resolve this issue of different kashrut standards? They're modiah, right? Meaning, if someone were to come over to my house who has a much higher kashrut standard, so I would tell him, oh, this is not for you to eat, this is for me to eat. You know, this food you wouldn't want to take advantage of. And then he'd be porish. And the stam foods, then he would eat, because if I didn't say anything, that's stam. So here we have two questions of halacha lemaisa. One question is, let's start with the makel, the host. Right? A makel host invites a machmer guest, right? So what does the makel host do? He's modiluhu to the machmer guest. Different kasher standards, right? So, modiluhu.
That's a big no.
So obviously, this whole idea only applies if everyone knows everyone else's kasher standards. If you don't know, then you don't know, right? Beisholem Meshav I knew. This is a famous machlokas. But nowadays, a lot of people know also the other people's kosher standards. So, let me make some room on the board. the principle of modi-lehu, right? Modi-lehu. Why were they modi-lehem so they would be Purish? Why were they modi-lehem? Why was, let's go back to the case of Tsaros, right? What's the case of Tsaros? A lot of Beishamai kids are Ramzerim. So Beis Hillel came for Shidduch, Beishamai tell them, no, this is not according to your Shita, don't marry her. Marry someone else. Marry your cousin. Why were they Modi and Beis Hillel?
Because they could still maintain social intercourse because of the fact that these were minorities and these weren't...
The reason they were Modiya is in order to have social cohesion. In other words, now just repeat your answer in the Lashon of the Gemara. What's the reason they were Modiya?
The stamp cases.
What's the reason they were Modiya in the Lashon of the Gemara? Because of which phrase in the Gemara was the reason they were Modiya? My Kamashmala. Kamashmala, what's the reason they were Modiya? Because of reasons of?
Shalom.
Or Avavareus, right? My Kamashmala. Avavareus Nogin Zebazeh. Right? They're Modiya because of Avavareus. Right? So that is one answer. This is Aaron's answer. Right? We'll see who else. Says, why? Because of Ava Vireyas, because of, proper Midos. Meaning, we all know that that's the nice way for Jews to act, right? It's sort of obvious that I should respect people, even though I think you're dead wrong, right? Lemaisa, I think you're dead wrong, Shabba dead wrong. I think your Shita is Shtos. But I know that if we want to get along, we have to respect each other, and otherwise we'll just end up destroying the unity of the Jewish people.
No, but it's more than that. In other words, how many Tsaros how many times did this happen? I don't know.
No, by Kairos it might have happened a lot.
Okay. But something like this, maybe by Kairos it was impossible because it was just so over.
No, but apparently they did it, it says they did it. You would have to be a Talmud Chacham to keep track by Taros, right? Meaning, by Kashrus, Sestam, so whatever, my Haredi cousins come over, it's easy enough for me to keep track of what Hefshir is on the package. By Taros, you have to be a big Talmud Chacham to even keep track of what's Tar according to your own Shita, much less to keep track of what's Tar according to two Shitas. But apparently they weren't. I guess they were Talmud Chachamim. They were Talmud Chachamim. Keep in mind, it was still earlier, easier then than it is nowadays. Because then, at least they knew what the Gemara meant. Right? Now there's a lot of respect on what the Gemara means. But anyone have another theory why I would have to tell you this is treif according to you other than Ava Vareus?
There's an inyan of Eilu. It's not that I think I'm totally right and you're totally wrong.
You
have a Shita and I...
Okay,
I,
but you're two steps ahead.
I can't let you be over your
hold
thing.
Hold on. You're just two steps ahead instead of one step ahead. Why can't I let you be over your thing? Mavaya. That's what you... You have to say that first, and then get to where you're going. Correct. So who's and who Taka says that Isra Doraisa Lifnei Iver? The Ra'ah, turn to the Makor sheet. The Ra'ah is quoted here in the Orchas Chaim. The Orchas Chaim is a very obscure work. Right? How many people own an Orchas Chaim at home?
Is it on the CD?
It's on the Bar Ilan, but I bought it before the Bar Ilan. Yeah. The Orchas Chaim is... I have in my home about... 5 or 6 shelves of obscure Svarim that I wouldn't have bought if there had been the Bar Ilan then. The Orchas Chaim, the Sefer Pardes of the Talmud of Rashi, and all these other obscure, strange Rishonim that you don't open all the time, and that are printed, in a bad font anyway. So, okay, what can you do? It's still nice to have the Svarim at home. Makes you feel more traditional. But the Orchas Chaim is Rav Aaron, Milunil. Not the Ra'ah. A different Rav Aaron of Lunil. I think the Orchas Chaim might have been a Kohen and the Ra'ah was a Levi. But it's a somewhat obscure Sefer. The one Sefer that's famous, that's very related to the Orchas Chaim, is the Kolbo. I don't know anyone see. If you learn Halacha, the Beis Yosef will quote something in the Kolbo. Everyone knows Hilchos Shabbos, right? If I'm not mistaken, what do we know from what Chumer comes from the Kolbo? Yeah, you can't ladle your soup out when it's on the when it's on the flame. You have to take your soup off the flame to ladle your soup. That's a chumra of the kolbo. The kolbo and the Orchas Chaim are really the same book. The kolbo was a kitzer version. The Orchas Chaim is a longer version. No one's 100% sure who wrote the kolbo. You know, did he write two versions? Did someone summarize it? All right, lo mashana. Anyway, but that's the Orchis Chaim. It's the longer version of the Kolba, which is a sefer that's only semi-obscure from the Rishonim. And we don't know who authored. And it's Rav Aaron of Lunil. And here he quotes Ra'ah. And this is not an... Even though the Orchis Chaim is a somewhat obscure sefer, this Ra'ah is analyzed by all the Achronim on this sugya, so it became very famous. Kasa Rav Aaron Halevi, he says... Shnei talmidei chachamim bali horah she'echad ozer ve'echad matir, like our case, hamatir ochel la'atzmo, umachil chavir ha'osro, the machil, so now he's going to get distracted here. If I'm makel, I can eat, I can even offer to you, even though you know your friend told zasser, okay, if it's obvious I can serve it to you, because you can take the choice and decide if you hold from your shita or not. Okay, that's trivial. Actually, maybe it's not so clear that it's trivial, but let's assume for now that it's trivial. Fine. So if I'm, you know, you have a higher standard of kashrus, I can serve you something in the label and show you the label, and you can decide what you hold. You have the right to change your opinion. But what about this case? Avol b'she'eno nicker lo. The interesting case. It's already cooked. There's no label on the package anymore. You don't know, like Mishami Yisrael's case, right? There were no, it wasn't this, there was no mark of Cain stamped on the foreheads. Lo, I can't serve you something that's usher to you. Kidamrina parakola basar chasle zar dabadar, we listen to me to this in the sugya of not bar not, that he says for sure Rav wouldn't have served me something that I hold as usher. I mean, you don't serve someone something they hold as usher. If the halach is that it's asr, then it's asr for everyone. Oh yeah, that's also trivial. But if there's a machlokas, what does he say? He says that I can't serve it to you. And what's the implication? There's no lifnei iver if I show you the label. But the implication is, but there is lifnei iver if I serve it to you stam. And this generally understood the sheet of the ra'ah. Right? Okay, we have to take Aaron's name down because he said all the pshat by name. Shita the Ra'ah is that is generally understood as Lifnei Iver. The Hagos Mordechai here is often understood in the same way. Sorry, the Hagos Mordechai said, if I serve you something you took a neder not to eat, that's Lifnei Iver. But what if I serve you something that you hold as usher? So he says in the end, I also shouldn't do that. It sounds like that's also because of Lifnei Iver. And even though in the Ra'ah and the Hagos Mordechai in the back of the Gemara here, it just sounds like that. That is accepted Davar Mekubal by the Achronim. The Shach in Simen Kuf Yod Tes says it's Lifnei Iver. And from there, all the Achronim assume, or most of the Achronim, assume the Shach Kuf Yod Tes. What Sivkatan is it? Sivkatan Chaf. Right? And most Achronim assume that it is Lifnei Iver. The Ritva here is not so clear. The Ritva says it's usser. The Ritva here says it's usser to serve him something that he wouldn't eat. We see it, that it's usser. It's not so clear whether it's usser we should Lifnei Iver or maybe it's a different isser, but we'll add him nonetheless. You know, maybe the Ritva, who wrote that it's usser, again, why is it usser? He might think it's usser because the Rabbana made a new special rule that it's usser. Possible. But he might mean that it's usser from Lifnei Iver. So who Taka says that it's not Lifnei Iver? The Pri Chadash. Look, the Pri Chadash on the Makori. La Nias Daiti Yored Yisfirlei L'Ra'ah. Dvar Lazar Yisfirlei Kishmuel Od Lo V'yad Ehel Se Kamanim Shem Foda Shal Rav. No, I didn't want to start there. Yeah. Go in this pre-chadash that I Xerox for you, seven lines down, near the end of the line, it says, Od nirali, sh'af is sh'enu nikr, even if I serve it to you and you don't notice it, nehi sh'enu roi lamatu lahachal osur shlo avyol daitu. Given it's not proper for the makel to feed the machmer something and make him violate his own opinion. Mikol machmina matur over shum lifnei iver. But it's not a violation of lifnei iver. Kem sh'davar mutur l'daito. Since it's mutter for me, it's not lifnei iver. It's just not proper. Against the ra'ah. Right? So what does the Pri Chadash say? The Pri Chadash famously says he bucks the trend And he says, it is not lifnei iver like the Ra'ah sounds like, and like the Shach says. It is not lifnei iver, says the Brit Chadash. It's just not so nice. But it's not usur. It's just not so nice. What's his raya? His raya is, we know his raya. For raya, the other meaning per kamadi vamos, tashma. So what does he say? He says if it would be an absolute chiv d'oraisa of lifnei iver to be machshel someone, then what's the whole Gemara? Why are they mesupik? It's obvious they would have to be modi alehem. If it's an issue d'oraisa, it's obviously b'sham b'shil kept the servant d'oraisa. It wouldn't even be a question. Sounds like they could have been machshel them. There's no issue to be machshel them. That's why the Gemara wonders what they did. From Rin Hassan, the Kamashwan the Avarayas no in Zebazah. What does the Gemara end with? Kamashwan Avarayas. Hold on a second. If I don't do Yisurim Daraisa, if I don't kill you, is that Kamashwan Avarayas? No, it says in the Ten Commandments don't kill. If I don't steal your wallet, is that a Kamashwan Avarayas? No, it says Daraisa. Even a lesser thing like that. You know, if I am, you know, if I'm not Malbu Panech Barabim. Is that Avav Reyes? No, that's keeping Doraisa. Avav Reyes means going beyond keeping Doraisa. We all know. Even people who don't have Avav Reyes, who are real sticklers and who don't care about Shalom, they wouldn't do Yisurim Doraisa, right? They'd be proud of not doing, I don't do Yisurim Doraisa, unlike you guys who are no good mix, right? No one doing Yisurim Doraisa. So it's a bet proof that's Avav Reyes. We have Isadik Isil, they even see the Mechshal, Ha'af Bestama Yimchayam Lafrij Medina, Vlavishab Avav Reyes. It would be an Yisurim Doraisa, the Eber. What do you mean, Avav Reyes? You just have to say they were from Jews. They weren't, they weren't reformed. You know, they wouldn't be avreis. Elavadik to Amran, but I see that I'm right. And then he wants to interpret that even Agos Mordechai means like him. All right, that's very controversial. But we have a fundamental machlokas here between the Prichadosh, who says avavreis, and Narachiyov, right? And the Ra'ah, who sounds like, and the Shach, and the later Achronim pick up on it, even the earlier Achronim, the Binyamin Zev, I'm pretty sure. Binyamin Zev is another obscure, very, very early Achron. You find it quoted a lot in what we call early Achronim, in the Shach, etc. The Shachs and most Achronim say it's Lifnei Iver. So we have a fundamental machlokes, why they're modilu parshi? Because of niceness and Ava Vareus, or because of an Issa Dereis of Lifnei Iver?
We still have the case. Where you said that they about the children of if a someone who's she marries and her children, we said that's not a problem because it's only chayin lavim. So, but there's still a begam on the children, and it was clear that they didn't tell there. They wouldn't tell them.
Why do you mean? Why do you say it's clear there's a begam on the children?
Kids who come from, I don't know, maybe I should say.
No, I know why you're saying it's clear there's begam in the children. Even if you forgot.
They can't marry Kohanim, no.
Yes, and where does it say that?
But
three lines later from where we stopped, okay. We're up to in the Gemara.
Right. But they didn't seem to tell them about that.
Okay, but we can't answer that question yet because that is very, very, very controversial. Whether there is actually a pagam in the children or not, I know. You're reading me the next three lines later, it says, Vlad Pugam with Divrei Beis Shammai. That is a very controversial whether it's true or not, because it's so sir many Gemaras. So let us, so basically, to answer your question without getting into the details, every Shita of Tanna and what we've been learning until now assumes that it's not Pugam, and that it's perfectly kosher v'yosher. that's the short answer. Now you'll ask, so why do some people think it is, some people think it isn't? And that's a whole soup. That you have to learn the chorus for.
Now we can see from all the discussion that we're talking about machlokas and shita. Now, your analogy in terms of kashrus could be something quite different than that.
Why?
In other words, because it isn't that
Okay.
Bells checks this, and the other one says you don't have to check that. Sometimes a lack of aminut, manut, I don't know how to say it. So it isn't that.
Okay.
If it's treif, obviously nobody would.
Okay, that is a very good point. But you're touching on a very complex issue here, which is, are the differences in kashrut standards nowadays machlokes or stam minhagim? Is it really based on machlokes and kashrus, or is it just based on what everyone's comfortable with?
Metzius.
Right. But the answer is, it's a little of this, a little of that, in truth. I mean, if you go to the different kashrus stages, you ask them, so what's the difference between, why don't you eat this? So some of the answers say, oh, those guys, come on, like, we're not so much guys like that, look at them, etc. But sometimes they will say, no, because they rely on the shita, and we don't rely on that shita.
Or you have a place, let's say, for instance, where someone gets to be the, and they claim that, and the rabbanut are that there should be always somebody to be concerned about bishulakum levi amechaber. And when this doesn't exist, and you ask them, they say, this is, we're doing the best we can. So that is, that could be a valid reason not to be
correct. Or politics.
Correct.
No, that's not politics.
But even forgetting about politics, there are real differences. Meaning, at a certain point, it might be politics. If you really want me to tell you, what's the difference between, the Chukasam Sofer and the Vadatza Gudis Yisrael, and at a certain point, things might be politics. But some things are clearly real differences. Meaning, is the difference between the Eidah Haredis and Reuben just politics? Maybe. But the difference between the Eidah Haredis and the Rabban and the Rabbanut of Haifa is not just politics. They actually have very, very different shitas and kashrut standards. Without saying who's right. You're not going to catch me doing. But basically, to summarize, of course, you're right. In modern-day kashrut standards, there could be three issues. It could be machlokas and din, which is similar to Sol Meshamai. It could be stam narishkeit, which you might have to analyze differently, or it could be, I know I'm sort of reframing what you're saying, but hopefully correctly, it could be not a machlokes in din, just higher standards that one wants to be more machmir than the other. Are you saying machlokes in metzias? To differentiate machlokes in metzias from machlokes in din is going to be hard now.
If the same person who's giving the hechsher, is this right? He wouldn't tell you it's exactly right.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that's different standards. So you're right, it can get complicated. One people call it machlokes mitzias, machlokes in din, stam politics, or no machlokes, but wanting to be more machber or wanting to be more mako, which might be mitam neder, might be actually very chummer. It might actually end up being more chummer if the guy actually holds his kosher, wants to be more machber, than if he holds your treif. Because if he holds his kosher, wants to be more machber, that might be mitam neder. All right, but we're not getting into that. Let's come back to it. Let's analyze this machlokas in two ways. One, in terms of the textual mahalach of our Gemara, and two, in terms of the yesod hadvarim. Textually, in terms of the Gemara, who has the upper hand? The Prichadash or the Shach? Let's just say, I know I gave you the Ra, the Prichadash started with the Ra, and the Shach I only put in brackets. People trust me, there's really a Shach like that. The Prichadash or the Shach? Prichadash or the Ra? Who is more meduyik in our Gemara? What? The Prichadash, right? Our Gemara makes a lot of sense. My Kamashlon, Avavareya, Snog, and Zebazah. Sounds like a good Raya. What is the Shach and Ra'ah going to say to defend themselves? So the Ritva here, you can give one of two answers. So how do you... What's the Av of Reus? So I think you have one of two answers. The Ritva says that Lifnei Iver is... They didn't give them things that are assured them. That's Lifnei Iver, that's not Av of Reus. What's the Av of Reus? So he adds... Sorry, this is all within the Ritva. The Av of Reus, he says, is, if you don't believe me, I'll even read it from the Ritva. Although you probably do believe me. He says, Ilumidina alpidin, nehida usher lo misfil be a dime rechum and chosl and zar dab dar miss midi lo sphere like. Of course, usher give it to him. That's bidina. That's not like the prechadash. However, become makom katsof unim nafshayu lo mechayvi la for shin who came a little after gomeru. If they did it on their own, you wouldn't have to stop them. Modi Luparchi, even if they did it on their own, I would stop them. I'd be Modi Luparchi. That's the Avreis. Avreis is even if they took on their own, I would stop them. That's Avreis. Lifne Iver means I can't give you something that's treif according to you. I can't offer you a shidduch of a girl who's a mamzer according to you. But if you make the shidduch on your own and I know not, and I have nothing to do with it, then it's not lifnei iver for me to stand around, right? The avreis is even if you did it on your own, I would come and tell you, you should know, not so pasha, you're making a mistake, you might not be comfortable here. And that's the avreis. So he says, the avreis is not for the ikker case. The ikker case is to the lifnei iver. Avreis is that even if it would happen that they Beishamai and Beisilva would do it on their own and wouldn't ask Beishamai's opinion, they would volunteer the information. That's the Avreis. A second shot you could say, I think, is that Lifnei Iver is that you can't give them. Right? What's the Avreis? If the Avreis is not that I told you it was usher according to you. No, that's required to the Lifnei Iver. The Avreis is that they intermarried with each other. Oh, what's the Kiddush? They were allowed to intermarry with each other because the other guy would have to tell them to the Lifnei Iver. But they might just have hated each other and not done it anyway, right? Maisim b'chol yom, that people will not eat in someone else's house, even if they know it's kosher, just because they hate them. Right? So maybe the Avreis, this is a bit more dachuk, the Avreis is that they didn't avoid each other. Not that, the Avreis is not that they had a way to interact with each other. Lifnei Iver guarantees they're allowed to interact with each other. Because if I go to your house, because of Lifnei Iver, you have to not give me something that's straightforward to me. But the Avreis that they didn't avoid each other out of sinna. Because, you know, you all know, I mean, over here, the Kamash and the Avreis, not that someone went with Lifnei Mishuras HaDin. It's just they weren't really bad people. The Avreis, you all know, I might go to your house and really you wouldn't serve me anything straightforward to me, but I want to prove I'm better than you, so I won't eat in your house anyway, just to show that you're not as good as I am. So therefore, the Avreis was not really halachically necessary. The Avreis, just they weren't mosif unnecessary sinna. Okay, you might say, Rechadish won't like this, say, what the hab, you know, why would angry mosif unnecessary sinna? But okay, open a history book. Okay, so the Rechadish definitely is a good raya from our sugya, but there are two ways out of it. The Ritva says, the Avreis is not that I wouldn't feed you something that you think is treif. No, that's lifnei iver. The Avreis is that even, I would even volunteer the information if I was a third party. And you could also say this little dachuk, the Avreis isn't that I wouldn't feed you something treif, it's just that we didn't put each other in chirim out of sinna. Okay, now how about more, always, you know, more yisodistic. How about svara? Svara in terms of lifnei iver. Who's right? Why am I saying svara of lifnei iver? I think everyone agrees that it's Avreis and you're a nice person if you tell them, right? That's not controversial. It's controversial. Is it only Avreis or is it lifnei iver? Who's right? Is it lifnei iver or is it not lifnei iver? Am I putting a stumbling block before a blind person or am I not? What would you think at first glance? Who's right? Well, let's start with the Prechadish. What would the Prechadish say? You'd say, come on, he is putting a stumbling block beforehand. He's making him stumble. What would the Prechadish say? He's not making him stumble, right? I'm not making you stumble. What if I put something in front of you that won't trip you? Right? What if I put something in front of you that might look to an ignorant person like you would trip over it, but you really can't trip over it? That's not lifnei iver l'sidin michshol. Ah, someone might think you're going to trip over it. It doesn't matter. You're not really tripping. Because nothing bad is going to happen to you, right? Really, I know it's mutter. And I know you're wrong. Hold that thought for a moment. I know it's mutter. I know you're wrong. So really, nothing bad happens to you if I give it to you. You're not tripping. Ah, you might think you're tripping, but you're wrong. You're really not tripping. Right? I don't know. What if there's someone, I don't know, someone who is, they have a problem with their eyesight. You know, they have a problem with their eyesight, and, you know, anything yellow looks like a banana peel. And what do I put? I put yellow stickers on the ground with treads on them so no one can trip. So, but according to that person, it looks like a banana peel, and if he saw it, he would think that he would trip on it. Who cares what studio he might see? He really won't trip on it. He'll really have firm, steady footing. So here also, the studio to this guy, he thinks it's trafe. That's his studio that he's in. It's really kosher, and it's really nothing bad. When he gets to Shemayim, nothing bad's going to happen, because it's really mutter for him. After all, I do it myself, so obviously I think it's mutter. If I do it myself, and I think it's mutter, then why can't I let you do it? Because I think it's mutter. So I think that's the Prechadish's logic, is that there's no real michshol, because it's mutter according to me. Meaning I eat this every day, I obviously hold it's mutter. And I obviously hold it's not tripping up to eat it, I obviously hold it gets schar and shemayim for eating it. So now this guy's going to get schar and shemayim. You know, this guy's going to get schar and shemayim. So gevaldik. So why would many Rishonim HaKoron think it is lifnei iver? Right? What are they going to answer? What are they going to answer the Prechadash? After all, I'm not tripping you up. It's something which an ignorant person might think is a michshol, but it's not really a michshol. So Morty, what would the Ra'ah and the Shach answer?
For them it really is. You're making that trip.
Why is it, what do you mean for them it really is? Don't I know that it's mutter? What do you mean, we have different halachas? For them it's usur, for me it's mutter?
Yes.
Yes, because of the principle of?
Eilu
ve'eilu. Maybe there's a fundamental machlokes here about Eilu ve'eilu. What can the Shach say? I have two ways of explaining what the Shach and Rav would say. A is that even though it's mutter for me, it's usher for him. It really is a mishul for him. How can it be a mishul for him if it's mutter for me? The answer is of Eilu va'eilu. In which case, what is the Yesod HaMachlokas? The Yesod HaMachlokas, I apologize that we keep getting philosophical here. No, I don't really. But this is a very philosophical sugya. This is one of the more philosophical sugyas in Shas. I'm talking about, you know, philosophy of halacha here. I'm not talking about metaphysics. Then you have to look in Chagiga, and you have to learn, look in Rishwal, Kohen Gadol, etc. What's the Yesod HaMachlokas here? They seem to argue about Eilu ve'eilu. Those of us who are in the Wednesday shir, Hashkafa shir, will perhaps recognize the different shitas here. It could be that the Shach in the Ra'ah says Eilu ve'eilu means each psak is valid for that person. Meaning, it's a mitzvah for me to eat it, but it's not there for you to eat it. And therefore it's a michshol. How can it be a mitzvah for me and a favor to you? Because Eilu ve'eilu really means there's more than one version of the Torah. Each person has their own version of the Torah. What would the Prechadash say? The Prechadash would say, no. Eilu ve'eilu just means each side gets schar for their effort. Doesn't really mean each side is right. So maybe that in the fundamental machlokes, Prechadash says, only one guy's right. And it's me. Therefore, it's not a michshol for you, because you're wrong and I'm right. And the Shach and Zerach is, no, it means both sides are right. One side is right for me, the other side is right for you. How could one side be right for me, one side be right? That's the Chiddush of Eilu ve'eilu. When Hashem gave the Torah, he said, there are multiple ways of keeping the Torah, and everyone has to keep their way of the Torah.
But in that version of Eilu ve'eilu, I seem to remember, isn't it that you say each side gets a schar, but we're not really, we don't know down here which really the right one is.
I do. I know that I'm right.
You think you're right.
I know that I'm right.
No, but if you think...
No, but the point is, but once I think I'm right enough to eat it myself, meaning if I'm not worried about, let's say I'm eating something, it might be nevela. I'm not worried about the lav nevela eating it myself, then I'm not worried about the lav mishol and giving it to you. I mean, madasha. If it's not a nevela for me, then it's not a mishol for you. You're asking, what gives me the gall to rely on my opinion? The answer is, do I think I'm right? And you need confidence. You're right. If you hold this version of Elohim, you need confidence to rely on your opinion. If you hold this version, you need less confidence. You just need basic confidence in your not being an idiot. According to this, you really need confidence.
But isn't there another Elu version that each side gets their schar, and only Bishamayim does know which one is right? We go by ours because we think it's right, but it could be the other one is right.
Yes, but then I go by mine, so it's not a mishal. So for me, I'm not giving you a mishal. You're right. And Hanami, maybe I'm not sure right, I just go by mine. So I go by mine and I say it's not a mishal. Right?
I can do that for me, I can't do that for you.
Why not? It's not a mishal. I mean, it's an interesting question. You're right, at a certain point it gets very fuzzy. And we'll leave it at that for now, for further reflection. That's one way of learning the Shach Nivri Chadash. Eil ve'eilu, it's really mutter for me and usher for you. We really have different halachas. That's a chiddush. We really have different halachas. But maybe. The second way of understanding the Shach is that, what's another way? Even if I really haven't tripped you up, what have I done? I haven't really damaged you, right? Let's say I haven't really damaged you. It's really mutter. You're really wrong. I haven't really damaged you. But what have I done? No, because what he does, no one hurt him. What? What if he finds out? He won't find out. Okay, it's a good point, but even more than that, is the idea of lifting Iver just, maybe, not to damage someone in a sneaky way? Or how else could you understand the law of lifting Iver? Not to take advantage of someone's blindness. Right? What?
How are you thinking?
Uh-huh. Not to trick someone who's blind. Now over here, have I damaged you? No. But have I taken advantage of your blindness and played a trick on you? Yes. I've made you do something you don't want to do because of your ignorance of the information and because of your blindness. You're blind as to where this food came from. So I've taken advantage to make you do something you didn't want to do. It could be the Shach would say, even if I haven't tripped you up, since I took advantage of your blindness, and it's almost like people, let's say someone like makes fun of like a blind person when they can't see, or I don't know, like these little kids are playing, you know, and I don't know, one of them gives the blind man a finger and the other kids laugh and the blind man doesn't realize, right? So, you know, they haven't tripped him up, right? He hasn't lost anything, but they've taken advantage of his blindness. And in this case, it's worse than that, because not only did I do something, I made him do something. So maybe you could say this would be a big finish. The idea that, perhaps, a subjective, you know, basically what I'm saying is that you could include subjective michshol under lift the iver, even a subjective michshol is usher. Why? Because you've taken advantage of the blindness to trick him. Basically, what do I mean? I mean, it's a harmless mishal. Maybe it is harmless, but you still tricked a blind man, even if it's harmless. Maybe tricking a blind man is usser, even if it is harmless, even if nothing bad happens to him. Maybe subjectively, since he would feel taken advantage of, therefore, you've taken advantage of a blind person by exploiting his weakness. So it could be that exploiting his weakness is usher, even if you really didn't do anything bad. Even if you didn't do it, but subjectively, he doesn't know. But if he knew, he would feel taken advantage of. And if he finds out something, he might find out and feel taken advantage of. So it could be that subjectively, you've exploited his weakness, and that might be within lifting iver, even if it's not really a bad thing. That would be an expansion of lifnei iver. Lifnei iver is not just basically an issue to be mazik someone by taking advantage of the blindness. No, even if you're not mazik someone, even if you're not machshol someone, but if you make him feel, he would feel like he's being nechshol, you've taken advantage of his blindness. So it could be that's the second way to explain the shach. Let me, yes. Okay, correct. I see it's very late. So you could then go from here into the whole Chakira, though we discussed this last year in Shir, I believe. I don't know if anyone here was here last year in Shir. But this might have to do with what the nature of the Iver is. Is it Ben Elam Lamakim, Ben Elam Chaver? There's a whole lumps on that. I won't repeat that now. I will just return to the first pshat now. But you're absolutely right. And if it had been an hour earlier, I would. But I only have 2 more seconds. Return to this pshat, and there could be another nafkamina as well. If they're arguing about this case, there could be the converse nafkamina as well. What do I mean by the converse nafkamina? The another nafkamina is, can the oser give the matir food which is mutter according to the matir? This is the opposite case. If I hold this treif and you hold this kosher, can I feed it to you? Again, I don't mean if I'm machmer myself. If I really hold this treif and you really hold this kosher, can I feed it to you? Right? Let's say I'm a... No, because kitnios I know is not treif. I'm just have a mithug. But better case, let's say, you know, a Sephardi who really holds it if it's not klal kosher, it's treif. Can he feed it to an Ashkenazi? Or if I really hold a heter makiris treif, can I feed it to someone who relies on it? So you would think, if you say Elu ve'elu means Yisrael gets side for their effort, but only one guy's right, then it should be usher. Yeah, it's really a michshol. But if you hold like the side that everyone has their own approach and everyone's approach is valid for them, then conversely, it's usher for me to give something you think is usher because I respect your halacha, but it's mutter for me to give something I think is usher that you think is mutter. Mutter, because for you, it really is mutter. This is a famous machlokas achronim brought down by the Shut. I have it at the Makor here someplace. The Ksav Sofer, Yordea Simon Ayin Zayin. A machlokas in himself in the Shar HaMelech. This is the Ksav Sofer. You want to know where it is? Shut Yordea Simon Ayin Zayin. And this is the Shar HaMelech that the Ksav Sofer quotes. So I think that these are just two opposite things. Basically, it's as if they either go by my opinion or by your opinion. According to the Prichadash, if the Iver goes by my opinion, if I hold this mutter, I can trick you. It's just not nice. And if I hold this usher, then he would probably view the Shar HaMelech and say, I can't give it to you. But according to the Shach HaMost Achronim, no, if the Iver goes by your opinion, your opinion is real truth for you. Elu ve'elu means you really have your own truth. Therefore, if I hold its mutter, I can't give it to you if you think it's usher. But if I hold its usher, I can give it to you if you think it's mutter. Halacha l'maisa, most people follow against the Prichadash. Echo the Shach here. And most posts can follow the Ksav Sofer here consistently. And this is the famous tshuva of the Mincha Shlomo, where he has other reasons also. But Shlomo Zalman says, if I, Macharita Sheyid, doesn't hold from Heter Mechira, and you do hold from the Heter Mechira, then it's fine for me to give you the food. It's even fine for me to buy in your store and cause you to violate the Isra of selling Heter Mechira produce. Right? There's no problem, Michshol, if I give you something or put you in a situation where you rely on the Heter Mechira, because even though I hold this usher, you hold this mutter and you have the right to your opinion.
He goes even further there,
which is usher saying nowadays that you don't want to blacken his legacy by making him look open-minded and normal. But he even goes so far as saying, and me'ikritin, you really can rely on the heter mechira because the machlok is in derabanans, and therefore, if you don't have a shita, you should follow the mekel. So he says, therefore, if the other guy doesn't have a shita, then he probably should rely on heter mechira anyway. That's going very far, and that they censored from the newer versions of the Sfarim that they published. That's a whole politics that two different people have to publish the same thing, one censored, one uncensored. All right, that's already in the realm of politics. But this is a very nogeya l'maisa. Maisa m'chol yom nowadays with different kashrus standards in both directions, and the mainstream opinion seems to be a lot against the Prichadash, that I have my shita, you have your shita, lift the evil respects your shita, goes by what you hold, not what I hold. Then it's many nafkaminas, and I think comes down to a very philosophical machlokas. Okay, we will break now, and I will wish everyone a Chag Kosher Sameach, and Pesach is definitely one of those times of the year when the challenge of Emes Hashalom Ve'Havav always comes up in its full tokef. So, but I think we're capable of meeting that challenge. And maybe we're even capable of helping to remind other people to meet that challenge. And Chag Kosher Sameach, we will have in the next shiur. There's no reason to skip a shiur, so we'll have shiur in 3 weeks from now, Thursday morning, Thursday after Pesach, the Zman starts the Wednesday after Pesach. So we'll have Shir 3 weeks from now, and we'll go a little weiter in the Gemara. Then it'll be a shorter Shir. I'll make it a little shorter to make up for today. And the Zman, you always get a special license. So 3 weeks from now, Thursday morning, whatever exactly...